living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
So after her life was derailed when her husband committed suicide, Diana Bonney began a passionate mission to help people left behind after a suicide recover and heal. Her blog offers reflections and resources for patients, suicide support, advice on how to heal after any sort of trauma, and just self-care solutions for anybody who's trying to heal from some traumatic past event. She also offers a few empowering rituals that can liberate people from painful past, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Diana, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Hi, Dr. Mike. Thanks so much for having me.
I appreciate it. We met in New York City, right? That was during that media event?
Yes, we did. We had the fortuitous meeting in line.
Yeah, and I really enjoy, I mean, your story just really caught my attention. I really liked what you were doing, and I think it's really important because, you know, as a medical doctor, and I don't, unless you go into psychiatry, I don't really offer a lot of people when it comes to healing from past things, and I think you're doing a great job. I want to get right into some of these rituals that my listeners, maybe who are struggling with something in their past, mm-hmm. that they can do right now to help them to begin that healing process. So let's get into that. What is the first ritual that you would like to share with us that can help people heal?
Well, this one sounds a little bit odd, but for me, it was very cathartic to do this. I, about a year after my husband died, had my wedding dress hanging in my closet. And it's one of those things that most people save as a memento. And for me, it had become kind of a burden and a representation of all of these years, you know, 23 years of marriage. So I took my wedding dress, went down to the beach. I collected a bunch of flowers. I wrote some letters about my experience. And sat with a friend of mine, and we read some poetry and actually burned it with the flowers and the letters. And it was incredibly freeing to be able to let go of it in a way that gave me a sense of space from that past and letting go of something which, you know, you go out and you buy a wedding dress and it has so much energy in it, right, and promise for the future. And so that helped me kind of let go of that piece.
You said something I think is important. For you, that wedding dress was starting to be more of a burden. And,
right.
and so as an individual, you made that decision that it was time maybe to move on from that, and you went through this ritual, which really helped you. And that's not to say that a wedding dress is a burden for everybody, but there might be something in somebody's past, right? And maybe there is something they're holding on to that at first it was helpful, but then it can start to hinder that healing process a little bit.
Right, and another thing I talk about is, if you don't want to burn your wedding dress, something else you could do would be to make prayer flags. I have taken, I actually have prayer flags which are made out of a lot of my kids' baby blankets and things like that. But if you had a different kind of loss, you know, than I did, you could take your wedding dress and maybe some clothing from the person who's passed away and create a really beautiful monument, you know, in a sense, to the person. That, you know, prayer flags are so interesting because they hang in the Himalayas and they're meant to carry the energy out into the universe. And I think it's an offering. You know, it's a way of saying that you're moving into a new phase of your life, but at the same time honoring the fact that that person was part of your life. And, you know, maybe burning your wedding dress isn't a way to do it, but putting it in something to commemorate in a prayer flag would be a better way to deal with it.
So again, it's taking that thing that maybe could be hindering your healing process and turning it into something that's much more positive for you. And I know, I think regardless of what your faith is, what your background is, these are things that you can do that really, what it sounds like you're doing, Diana, to me, is you're giving a way to close, in a sense.
And you're
taking that... Yeah, and that's what all this sounds like. To go back to the prayer flags again, though, have you talked to people who have done this kind of stuff, whether it's burning something or creating something like a blanket or a flag? Do you have any stories to share with my listeners where it really has that really impacted you, where someone was really helped?
I'm trying to think of an individual. One example I could think of is taking jewelry. I happen to have a friend who's a jeweler, and she did this for me, and she also did this for someone else that I know, where, again, you know, if you have a marriage situation and you have a lot of, you know, wedding jewelry or things that, anniversaries and things like that, a lot of times those things can sit in a drawer, And so we took all this, and she did this for a gal that I know, and melted down all the gold and took all the stones and recreated a really beautiful piece that took stones from all different, you know, kinds of jewelry. And it really becomes kind of an alchemical process of transforming this energy, this old energy, into something that's new that represents the past. And I think just it creates a safe container to hold this old emotions, because you can't, you know, if you were married, you can't make that go away. And for me, in my situation, you know, it's something, a process that I've been working through, and I want to honor it, you know, for what it was, but it came to a very dramatic end. And so the way I did that was taking this old jewelry and transforming it into something new, and that's created an entirely different, right, you know, view of it.
You know, when you, let's go back to your situation where you finally recognized that it was the wedding dress that was maybe more of a burden now than anything else for you. Was it really obvious to you, or did it take a friend or a family member to help you kind of see that it was more of a burden now? How did that happen for you?
I think it was a process of just seeing that wedding dress hanging in my closet and realizing that every time I looked at it, it brought up the memories of, you know, times past, and it brought up the memories of all of the hopes and things that I had when I actually got married, and that it was probably time to release that and let that go so that I could move into the next chapter. And I, you know, I meet people quite often and get in conversations with them, and they have held on to all kinds of mementos and things that, you know, anchor them really to the past. And I think we end up just sort of, you know, cycling around that anchor over and over again. So sometimes it's really healthy to just take something and think, how can I recreate this? How can I take this and transform it into something that might enable me to move into a more positive future?
Yeah. Now, and I want to do this with you, and I wasn't sure if I was going to go there, but I do. I think I want to, and I think this would be helpful for my listeners. You specifically dealt with suicide and life after that. You and your family. So let's talk a little bit about that. What advice can you give? Because obviously that was horrible what you went through. You've come through it. You've given us some suggestions. But is there anything else specific to suicide that the survivors, the family left over? What can you tell them? What are some things that they can do to begin that healing process?
I really think the biggest piece is honoring your own emotions and really letting go of what other people think and what you think you should or should not be doing. The biggest piece that I find with suicide is that people just don't talk about it. I meet people whose mother or father committed suicide 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and they literally have never discussed it. The person's life is taken, folded up like an accordion, and put in a, you know, closet, and never, ever talked. And so, you know, you have to, emotions don't go away, and stories don't go away until we let them out in the open and give them the chance to air in the light of day and under the, under the, you know, healing eyes and ears of other people. And so I really think the biggest piece for people who have gone through suicide and are the people left behind is that finding a safe place to start exploring your emotions and feeling them and really talking about it.
I think that's awesome advice, and I know you have so much more to share with people who are going through this. Is there a website that my listeners can connect with you at, Diana?
There is. My website is livingonthefaultlines.com. That's where I blog about all these different healing modalities and things.
And can they talk with you there? Do you have, can they do comments and stuff, and you'll talk back?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I have comment on the blog, they can go ahead and do that. And,
Diana, thank you so much for what you do. I think it's so important, and I encourage all my listeners, if you're going through this, please contact Diana. She can really help you out. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.